Furthermore, when we saw what happened to Lali, his style was quite unique. He would take life as it would come. Wasn't choosy of any particular style and standard. If the food and the comforts are completely plain, nothing extraordinary, he's quite comfortable with that. And if there was some comfort or some luxury, then he would take it in his stride. Comfort or discomfort did not make a difference to him. If someone brought a carpet for him to sit on, he would sit on. And if there was no carpet, then chatai was all right. And if the chatai was not there also, then the big ground was also all right. It didn't make any difference to him. In his latter life, towards the end of his life, he had lost his sight. So as he came to sit in the place that was designated for him, he felt the carpet. So perhaps around Zuhr time he saw that there were three carpets, and now Asr time he saw there were two carpets. People come now, they bring one carpet, someone is taking something, someone is... So these Zulghanadin, they are very focused. And the reason for their focus is that people come with great pains towards them. And they come for their reformation and correction, so that they can improve. In that short duration, he needs to do the correction. So he feels the carpet and sees one is short. So he made a general comment, "Arre, teen qaleen the, ek ka kya ho gaya? There were three layers, but why is it two?" Nobody answered. Now he asked specifically, "Arre Muli Yahya, woh teesre qaleen ka kya ho gaya? What happened to the third carpet?" So around the time when Nawab Sahib had pulled in, how you get this, ultra wealthy people. So when Nawab Sahib had pulled in, and Mawla Yahya Sahib rahimahullah felt that as a gesture of kindness to the Nawab, take one carpet and let him rest in on that. So Mawla said that we pulled it out for the Nawab. So Mawla's comment was, "Arey, in Nawab Sahib ki haan qaleenon ki koi kami thi? Was there any shortage? Does he have any shortage of anything that you have to pull out one carpet and give it to him?" So half of that Nawabi mind was smashed down there. He came to correct himself. And without this, he can't correct himself. He's coming with a frame of mind, you see. And the frame of mind needs to be corrected. So you're coming off with a mind of your own and you want to be corrected. How are you going to get corrected? Sometimes it happens that people don't know exactly what is the reason for them coming. Sometimes it's, they feel, alright, I've got a problem, so I'll come around and the problem gets sorted out. You make dua and everything will come right. Or someone feels they've got a lot of tension now, let me ease the tension. Someone feels, well, I've got some business problems, then sort that out. And students will feel, will come around, exams will go smooth. Come with mixed intentions. So Mawlana's work now is to put everybody on track. Now you need to get your alignment right. Get the understanding right. These things may happen by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, but this is not the reason why you're coming along. In Sulaiman alayhi salam had written a letter to the Queen of Saba, hand delivered by the bird Hudhud. So training of this bird is not something recent. The been training them. And airmail is not now. Now it's only email, but airmail was from then. And he flew and delivered it. So the letter read, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin. From Sulaiman alayhi salam to Bilqis, and this is the content of the letter. Don't show arrogance, don't show attitude against me, and come to me in total submission. They say, Kalamul Muluki Mulukul Kalam. Kings, their words are king of words. The words of kings are kings of words. So the words are very selected, very precise, to the point, nothing is left out. Comprehensive, complete, full, fully packaged. What he says, don't show any attitude and come to me in total submission. Just two sentences, not even two sentences, in fact one sentence. But two messages in that one sentence. And in that he's given everything. The whole of Islam, the whole of Tasawwuf, the whole of Sharia, everything is in that one. It's packaged so well. So in the first message that he conveys to her is, don't show attitude. Don't show arrogance towards me. In other words, what he's showing, that one of the major obstructions in the path of your progress is you're showing attitude. You don't show attitude, then this way is very easy. So one is the main stumbling block on this path, or main obstruction, main impediment, is showing some type of attitude, some type of arrogance. And when I look at it in retrospect, then one of the greatest favors of Allah Ta'ala in this age, I feel, is the tawfiq, the grace to acknowledge your mistake. You read the adab now, you made a mistake, and don't camouflage it. You know, it's nice to make up a story, right? To try and camouflage the mistake. We feel that now people don't know about the wrong that we have done. And people use strange, unique ways to try and camouflage their mistakes. One person used to sway his mother, you see. He's talking to his brother, he's got a fight with his brother. But when he's talking to his brother, then he's swearing his mother. So they asked him, but you know what? It's your mother as well. You're swearing her. So he had an answer for that. See, he had an answer for that. He says, you see, I'm swearing her not as my mother, as his mother. Being his mother, I'm swearing her. So she's got two dimensions. One dimension is being my mother, and the other dimension of this woman is being his mother. So I'm swearing her being his mother, not my mother. Like that, you can find out you can pull out all type of explanations and camouflage all the wrong that you can do. But by dil ke dekhne wala to dekh raha hai, the one that sees the heart, he is watching you. So to have that grace and to have that blessing to accept your mistake, no matter who you are, what background you're coming from, but to have that ability to accept. We are the children of Adam alayhi salam, not the children or the following of Shaitan. Shaitan's way was to cover up for the mistake. When he committed the mistake, and Allah Ta'ala addressed him for committing the mistake, ma mana'aka an tasjuda lima khalaqtu bi yadayhi, what stops you from bowing down to the one that I have made with my own hand? Now, forget the remorse. He doesn't even acknowledge his mistake. One is to show remorse and one is to acknowledge. He doesn't even confess, no acknowledgement. Right? What he says, ana khair, I'm better. So there is no acknowledgement. As a result, there is no remorse. And if there is no remorse, then there is not going to be any correction. So that was Shaitan's method. no acknowledgement, as a result, there's no remorse. When there's no remorse, then you're not going to correct yourself. So then how do I correct you? If it's a sugar patient that comes into to see a specialist, and the specialist tells him, "By this is a problem. You need to correct yourself." So, no, I don't think your diagnosis is right. You made a mistake. Sugar, you have to have sugar in your body. You know, without sugar, how are you going to work? You need sugar will convert into energy. And without energy, you can't function. So he gives a bayan to the sugar specialist. So what the sugar specialist will say? "By all, you carry on. I'm a little busy now, you carry on." Only send him away. Because he's not acknowledging. He needs to put him onto a line. He can only lead him on that line if he learns to acknowledge the mistake. But if he's not, if he's in denial, total denial, I've got no problem. I need sugar. If there's no sugar, then I'm going to function. Sugar is going to be turning into energy, and what you're advising is completely upside down. But I mustn't take the thing that will provide the energy. So that doctor will not waste his time. "I've got enough work to do." But you carry on. So the mistake of the patient is that he must first make an inventory of the person that he's going. "I see him to be the right person." Then don't question him. Don't keep questioning. Because he must give an explanation to everybody. He's got 30 people coming in, and 30 people he has to give them a bayan. When is he going to do other work? "You like me, then make an inventory of me, investigate, find out properly, then just move on." Otherwise, it's a headache now. This person comes again, I must explain him again. The whole concept again. Once in a blue moon, you explain someone, it's alright. But every now and then, you have to explain the same concept as though that person is doubting the integrity. So what's the need to explain the person? Shaitan, he doubted the integrity of Allah Ta'ala. So he says, "I am better, I am superior. Allah Ta'ala, your judgment is not right. The inferior needs to bow down for the superior, not the other way around. And you are asking the superior to bow down to the inferior. So this is against reasoning, against logic." So he tried to engage Allah Ta'ala. But when he tried to engage Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala threw him out. He threw him so badly that he can't even get up. "Ukhruj minha, fa innaka rajim," rejected. And perpetual curse. "Alayka la'anati ila yawmiddin." See the denial and where it took him. And then you compare this against the answer of Adam alayhi salam. He's also made a mistake. He also stumbled. And strangely, Allah Ta'ala speaks about both of them and both their mistakes and both their responses. He speaks about both of them, both the mistakes and both responses he speaks about. So when he asks Adam alayhi salam, "Ma mana'akuma, alam anhakuma antilkum ash-shajara," "Didn't I ask you not to eat from this tree? And didn't I tell you that shaitan is inna shaitana laka aduwwun mubin," shaitan is your open enemy. "Didn't I tell you, didn't I warn you about this?" Now, Adam alayhi salam didn't camouflage, didn't mince his words. He didn't say, "You know, Allah Ta'ala, everybody makes a mistake. And rufi an ummati al-khata'u wa nisyan." You know, mistakes, everybody makes it. Mankind is made up of mistakes. So if I make a mistake, then it's not a big deal now. Why are you making such a big noise about it? So he didn't come into his defense. He didn't give an explanation to it. He didn't say, "You know, Allah Ta'ala, but I misunderstood this whole concept." He didn't even say that. He didn't say, "I misunderstood it." He didn't give an explanation. He didn't say that I ate it for the right reason. My niyat was right. My niyat wasn't wrong. Allah Ta'ala, you judge people by their niyats. He didn't give an explanation. No camouflaging of answers. What he says, straight away, he's acknowledging and then he's also showing remorse. Straight away. Now, isn't that the intelligent way? We've seen the person, recognized him, and then when he's brought the mistake to attention, then straight away we get to the works. Now we're trying to know the philosophy and the whole logics behind it, the logistics behind it. It's taking so much of time. And your time is getting wasted. Allama Tartushi Rahmatullah Ali, he explained to his students, you know, Allah Ta'ala says, "Man kana yarju liqa'a rabbi falyamal amalan saliha wa la yushrik bi'ibadati rabbi ahada." You longing to meet Allah Ta'ala, then what is supposed to be the plan of action? You say you long to meet Allah Ta'ala. Yarju liqa'a Rabbi. What you want, you're longing to meet Allah Ta'ala. Then what's the plan? You need to have a program in place. You need to meet Allah Ta'ala. What's the program? How do you meet Allah Ta'ala? So he says, it's a 2-point program. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. One is, he says, do righteous works. And don't join up anybody in my worship. You say join up and assigning partners, and it's in different ways. One is, like we know, polytheists who join partners with Allah Ta'ala. But there's other ways also, like one is show and ostentation. And one is to obey the nafs as well. And to obey others like how you would obey Allah Ta'ala. You're obeying your temptation, you're obeying your friends, you're loyal to them and you want to be loyal to Allah Ta'ala, both of them together. As though Allah Ta'ala and your friend both are together in one line. The loyalty that you're showing to Allah Ta'ala, you're showing to your friend. So isn't that a type of a shirk? Polytheism. Why? It's the loyalty that I owe to Allah Ta'ala, that I can't join anybody into this. It's out of the question completely. So he says the 2-point plan. So then he comments on this verse and he says, but then don't you waste your time in socializing and trying to compete with your contemporaries, competing on the lifestyle, standards, etc. He's earning so much, I'm earning so much. He's got this and I don't have this. He has this and he's got this type of reputation, I don't have this type of reputation. His child is like this and my child. But don't waste your time in doing all this. This is vain. Labak just gives you a 2-point plan. Then you just be focused on your work. What's your work? You say you want to meet Allah Ta'ala, you love Allah Ta'ala. Then are you focused well? Are you doing your work well? See, what an important thing. Going for a work, going for hajj now, just some focus on that. Leave all the other discussions. Oh, who's your brother? Who's your father? And where you come from? And leave all those things. I've got a plan. I've come with a mindset. And I've come with a mindset, I need to see I'm accomplishing. Ramadan came, I need to see I'm accomplishing. And in fact, every day is like Ramadan, every day is like Shab al-Qadr. And I need to see I'm accomplishing. I'm not using up my time in things that don't concern me, don't relate to me. And that's going to disturb and disrupt my whole journey to Allah Ta'ala. Now, that person has got the objective, the goal, he can work with. But doesn't have the goal. He's in a soccer match, and he doesn't have a goal before him. He'll be showing stunts. He'll be showing stunts, right? How you can keep the ball on the air for 10 minutes. Because he doesn't have a goal. But if he has a goal before him, you won't see him wasting time. Whatever logical explanation you give him, so what's the philosophy in scoring the goal? Philosophy, after I won the match, then I'll speak about it. So you tell these people here, and after I entered into Jannat, then we'll talk about the philosophy and the logistics. Now let's be score the sawabs. There, the person that's playing soccer, he's very shallow intelligent, because he's dedicated his life to something that is very, very stupid, very low. But his intelligence also tells him, but I can't get into any type of philosophical arguments. I need to see that I'm scoring the goal. Someone is engaging me, I'm telling him, after I've won the match, then I can talk to you. But before that, I can't talk to you. When that person with a very shallow intelligence, he also knows the importance of that goal, then that person who says that I'm intelligent, how much more should he think that I got a goal before me? Leave all these things. Everything else is second. Man kana yarju. See how this verse, how beautiful this verse. Man kana. You say you long to meet Allah Ta'ala. Are you true? Oh, it's just in name that you're saying that I do long to meet Allah Ta'ala. Nonetheless, we were talking about the Mu'ammar Goi Sahib rahmatullahi. Perhaps with this barakat we are talking of something that will really, really, it will bring us back on true track. So anyway, all that happened. And I was talking about Hudhud, right? Hudhud delivered the email. And the contents of the letter is, Allah ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslim. Now look how beautiful. A Nabi's word is a Nabi's word. He's a king and a Nabi. And you can imagine the dynamics of the letter, how powerful the letter is. The first point, the first message is, don't you ever show attitude to me. Leave all your attitude, your greatness, your culture, your civilization, your philosophy, and whatever advanced worldly material advancement you got, just leave it. I don't want to know about it. And the second message, wa atuni muslimin. Such a dynamic message. The more I think about it, The more I get, just get excited. It's a Nabi after all. If Sulaiman alayhi salam's message is so dynamic, then you can imagine the Khatimul Anbiya, the head of all the Anbiya, what dynamics must be in his message. But we don't take out the time to understand, to think about his message. Yeah, this philosophy said this, and Socrates said this, and Pluto said this, and Aflatun said this. Why, what they are? They're all nonsense. Really, compared to the Anbiya alayhi salam and they were, what they are, absolutely nonsense. How can you ever even compare them with the words of the Anbiya? They're absolutely nonsense. They're nowhere near the Nabi. Absolutely nowhere near the Nabi. How can you ever reason? So they look at the message, وَأَتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ, come to me in total submission. Now just look at that message, come to me in total submission. The Nabi's word, the additional beauty in the Nabi's word is, there's so much of philosophy, there's so much of intelligence, there's so much of wisdom, but it's said in such a simple word, in a simplistic manner. They will tell you the same thing, but in a very, very difficult manner. Where's your ears? Right round here, that's it. Why you could say that this is the ear, this is the ear, right? But right round. Make it same thing, make it very complicated, difficult for you to understand. And the Nabi will give it to you directly, so easy, in simple words. Come to me in total submission. Some total submission means leave everything of yours. Whatever I say now, you're going to do exactly what I say. That is submission. Otherwise, it's not submission, it's partial submission. It's incomplete submission, it's deficient submission. So that means the first path to progress in this line is submission, what we say, fana. Leave your aspirations, your thinking, your understanding, your reasoning, your friends, your group, leave all, don't worry about them. They are irrelevant now. You can't come and say, as heart specialist, you know, my friend said this, and I want an answer for him. The heart specialist will tell you, boy, you want to take the treatment or not? You take the treatment, I got a line of treatment, otherwise you go. Because, you see, every minute of mine is valuable. I will bill you accordingly. You're taking 1 minute of mine is 5,000 rand. Now only then our brains open. Hey, 1 minute is 5,000 rand. So, I need to be cautious of my time, I need to be cautious of his time. If you got so much of attachment and value to your money, then do you have a value of other people's time? You engage them in all these discussions. Right? Talk of something that is sensible that will bring you to the path. These things, leave it out. Leave it out. What's going to bring you to Allah Ta'ala? It's going to bring you nearer. Just talk about those things. Other things, leave it out. Like I say, when we reach Jannah, inshallah, then we can talk about the business. You know what business plan I had, and 25% and anchor tenant and all these things here. We can talk about all that Ferrari and all these things here. All that we can talk about then, once we reach our Jannah. Before we reach Jannah, we can't talk about these things. So you see the message of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin. Come to me in total submission. Leave all your thinking, your understanding, your reasoning, leave it all out. See the background, the person's former age, the former years of his life, they shape his mind. And many a times, that shaping is incorrect. That former years of a person's life, it maps your mind. And the mapping and the shaping is incorrect. So you need a whole remapping program. Like a person doesn't know how to recite Quran Sharif well, so the Qari Sahib is going to teach him. He'll have to break his tongue and leave all your recitation. Whoever told you whatever, just leave all that. You'll just listen to me. And you can't go and tell the Qari Sahib, but you know, he said this, and this person said this, and this person, you can't say that. Qari Sahib will tell you, but you will come to my classes, then you just listen to me. Eventually, after the program, you'll understand, after you've understood it very well, you know, you have got a command over the subject, then you can comment. But now, you haven't got a command on the subject, why must you get into it? See, you get two challenges. One is a physical challenge, and one is a mental challenge. You will understand it in a physical challenge. In a physical challenge, you take on someone who you feel is your equal or weaker than you, isn't it? He's your equal or he's weaker than you, you will take him on. You'll take a chance, right? But if he is stronger than you, he's better equipped than you, then you take a chance. He's fully armed. And you don't have anything. Do you take a chance? You don't take a chance there. that's in a physical challenge. Because you know what's going to be the end. All your strength and all your stunts and whatever. But you're not going to take a chance now. Because physically you're not equipped. You're not equal. So you have one person who is physically equipped, one person is mentally equipped. If you're not mentally equipped, you don't take on the next person who is mentally equipped. Like in that physical combat, he will throw you down. He may destroy you, he may kill you. In the mental challenge also, that person is stronger than you, you're not very well equipped, he's going to throw you down and he's going to destroy you. So you see all this literature and all this type of groups and friends, etc., who are thinking on the wrong end, right? They have got something that you don't have. In the wrong, they have progressed. They have progressed quite a bit in the wrong. And you haven't progressed in your right. In your parameters, within yourself, you haven't progressed. In your iman, in your yaqeen, in your understanding of deen, you haven't progressed. When you haven't progressed, then you can't pretend to have progressed. You can't pretend. Because you don't have that type of understanding. You don't have that type of firmness. You don't have that type of stability. You don't have that type of firmness. So when you don't have that type of stability and the firmness, how can you take this person on? If you want to take him on, then whatever little you have got, you want to risk the little that you have got. You're going to endanger the little that you have got. So you take on someone who is your equal, or you know for sure that you are stronger than him. But you don't have the strength, mental strength, that you don't take him on. Physically, you understand it very well. So the only question is now, do you understand it also mentally? That you don't have the type of mental stability, imani stability, yaqeen stability, deen stability, you don't have it. So you don't engage this person. Then you refrain to someone else. I haven't taken the whole responsibility of the time, Ummat. But if you're really sincere in what you want, then this is the person that you refer to. Reframe, carry on your life. See, like that Allama Tartushi is saying, don't waste your time, don't get into this conversation, engagements and all that, socializing, and competing with each other, you get into your work. That person that is competent enough, just refer him to that person that's competent, carry on your work. You carry on your work, he carries on his work. Why must you assume the responsibility of the entire ummah? You're not equipped for it. He's got a heart problem. Do you assume the responsibility for him? No. I'm not geared for that. I'm not specialized for that. They will understand. I'm not specialized for that. You go to a specialist, he will explain to you. I'm not that person. So, in these matters, we do understand. But just in deen, we want to take a chance. Everybody should take a chance. It's a waste of time. You're going to confuse yourself. You're going to complicate yourself. Just refer him to the person who is well equipped. Ar-Rahman fas'al bihi khabira. How beautiful Allah said it. Ar-Rahman fas'al bihi khabira. Alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha ma baynahuma fi sittati ayyam thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh. Ayat comes, wa tawakkal 'ala al-hayy alladhi la yamut wa sabbih bihamdi. Place your trust in the one that is eternal, doesn't die. Glorify his name. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah alazim. Kaash ke hamein maloom ho jata ke qabr mein kya ho raha hai. If you only know what's going on in the qabr, you won't engage in all these things. And one subhanallah, subhanallah bihamdi, what it's going to turn out to be, we don't know the worth of it. Yes, we know the worth of 5,000 rand, 100,000 rand, we'll talk about it. But the worth of that subhanallah bihamdi, we don't have the worth, therefore we engage in this type of things. But what Allah is telling us, وتوكل على الحي الذي لا يموت وسبح بحمده. Please your trust in him. الذي خلق السماوات. Just a small introduction to Allah Ta'ala, creation, the creator of the heavens and the earth. الرحمن فاسأل به خبيرا. He is Allah, the most gracious. You want to know about him, then refer to the one that is acquainted of Allah Ta'ala. He knows Allah Ta'ala. You want to know about him, then you refer to the one that has got an acquaintance. Right? You want to know about sugar, you go to Hewlett's. Right? Doesn't it happen? You want to know about sugar, you go to Hewlett's. Right? You want to know, for example, of toothpaste, you go to Colgate. You want to go to chocolate, you go to Mr. Cadbury. Right? Don't we have that understanding that we'll go to this person here? He specializes in this. He will tell you which is the best chocolate, which is the best sugar, which is the best toothpaste, for example. He will tell you. So by the same token, can you apply your mind? Ar-Rahman, fas'al bihi khabira. You want to know about Allah Ta'ala, the most gracious. Then refer to the person that has got an acquaintance with him. Not to the wrong person. Accounting, you'll go to an accountant. Medicine, you go to a doctor. But for Allah Ta'ala, you want to get the lead to Allah Ta'ala, then how do you get it? The one that is acquainted. We'll apply our mind in every other science correctly, that I need this, then I need to go to this person here. By the same token, can't we apply our minds? We need Allah Ta'ala. So how do we get to Allah Ta'ala? The one that is best acquainted to Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, now this Nawab is pulling. You see Munah's approach. At the first encounter, Munah is correcting him. Because Munah feels that these people are coming, they're taking out their time to come and spend time with me. And in spite of them being Nawabs, etc., they're coming and staying in the Khanqa in simplistic conditions. Someone is staying for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. So I need to see that every moment of this is worth the while. Otherwise, the Nawab Sahib will come back with a frame of mind that I'm wealthy. I'm influential. Person has got some secular education, I think, oh, I'm very educated. So, what's that circular education got to do with what I'm doing? It doesn't connect in any way. I leave that thing, you're coming for something else here now. If all that, just come here. You come with a different frame of mind. So nothing to do with this. So you go on to that life, but you're coming not with total submission. You see this, وَأَتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. Just remember this. Remember it again and again. Just let this verse play in your mind for the entire week. وَأَتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. This is the first line Sulaiman Islam is conveying to this queen of Saba. Come to me in total submission. Not with the preconceived mind. I got this education and this wealth and this influence and this power and this might. Leave that aside. Come here. So total submission. So at the first encounter, what I say, Nawab ki ha, kuch kalino ki kami thi, ke unko kalin diya gaya. He was short of any carpet that you have to give him a carpet. For that half of that Nawab, you all got smashed down. Now the Nawab Sahib is seeing what's going on, but he knows that he's coming for his Islah. So whatever he's going to get in this path, he's going to take it with open arms. He's not going to feel offended now, hey, you know, I got it. First encounter, smashed down. He's not taking that. He's taking a different light. Now anyway, the Dasturkhan was laid. So obviously it's a Nawab, so they're going to put up some specials on Dasturkhan as well. Hazrat Shaykh ul Hind Mawlana Mahmud ul Hasan Sahib rahmatullah alayh. So when he saw now it's a Nawab, and Mawlana Mahmud ul Hasan Sahib was from a very wealthy background. But when he came on this line, then he came to a very simple style. You couldn't even identify that he's an alim. So simple he used to be. So he felt perhaps the Nawab would not feel comfortable with my presence, because of the clothing that I'm wearing, simple clothing, not even pressed and ironed. And the Nawab will feel very awkward and uncomfortable, so he sneaked away slowly, because you know Nawab is blind now, he won't see now. So anyway, when he sneaked away, Nawab Gangoi Sahib Rahmat asked, Mauli Mahmood, second time, when he spoke for the second time, or the third time, he answered. And from his answer, perhaps Mulana picked it up, he perceived that Mahmud Hasan preferred not to be there, that he doesn't make the Nawab Sahib feel uncomfortable. So now, look at Mawlana Gangoi Sahib Rahmat's answer. He says, agar hum faqiro ke saath khane ko Nawab Sahib ko nagawar mehsoos hota ho, تو وہ اپنے کھانے کا انتظام علیحدہ کر لے, باقی ہمارا تمہارا ساتھ تو مرنے جینے کا ہے. He says, if this Nawab doesn't feel comfortable sitting with us and eating, he can make his arrangements elsewhere. But you see, our relationship is with life and death. I tell you, how excited Mahmud al-Hasan and the Shaykh ul-Hind must have felt at that moment, that Mawlana has told him that our relationship is at a different level. It's life and death we are together. Not even death, we say, with death we separate. Yeah, life and death we are together. How you must have felt. And what level of dedication he must have given to Mawlana. for Maulana to make that type of statement. He's also coming from a Nawab background, mind you. Maulana Muhammad was not an ordinary beggar. He's also coming from a very wealthy background. But when he gave himself complete. So Maulana appreciated this. When he appreciated this, he says, Amara tumara saath, to marne jeene ka hai. You came from this background, but you understood and appreciated this path. This path is leading to that end, to Allah Ta'ala. For your appreciation, this is the token that I give you, that our relationship goes beyond death. Not just with death, it transcends above death. So I read the verse, Ar-Rahman fas'al bihi khabira. You want to know about Rahman, then ask the one that is well acquainted. Fas'al bihi khabira. Ask about him from the one that is well acquainted. So the hadith says it very well. How do you identify them? How do you make out that this person, he is the right person, he is the candidate, he is the person that I should be speaking to? The hadith speaks about it, and the Quran Sharif speaks about it. The hadith, Rasulullah SAW gives a 3-point plan. When you see the person, you are reminded of Allah Ta'ala. Just looking at the person, and it reminds you of Allah Ta'ala. Like how we see someone now. See, my Ismail would think of Talimi what? The thing you see of Ismail Bari talk of Mercedes. So the person that we are talking to, right, as though that's the identification. We think about him, we just think of like, our mind just goes in that direction. Our mind just goes in that direction. So that Allah Wala is such, okay, when you talk about him, when you see him, you are just reminded of Allah Ta'ala. Like I said, you just talk about Hewlett and you think about sugar. Talk about Colgate and you think about a toothpaste. Doesn't it go synonymous? Hand in glove. So the same. When you see them, when you talk to them, you're just reminded of Allah Ta'ala. Identification. That they're so soaked in the love of Allah Ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. The whole framework, the mind works in that direction, the thinking is like that, the spirit is like that. That's the first identification process, as explained in the hadith. The second is this, when they talk, your understanding grows from one level to the other level. Your understanding is just not just stagnant, your understanding just grows from one level to the other level to the third level, right? Now look at this understanding of this Nawab. Mona made this statement, ke hamara tumara saath marne jeene ka hai. So what happened to him? That whole Nawabi had gone flat down, and the Nawab understood that this thing is not as significant as I thought. I thought this was a very significant thing, what I got, you know. I thought it was a very significant thing, very important thing. But I realized that this is nothing. Absolutely trash. Before, I mean, in comparison to what Maulana is taking us to, this is trash, nothing. Mal hayatu dunya illa mata'ul ghurur. It is just goods of deception. Everything else, ama khanda im, faramosh karda im. Sheikh Sadi Rahman said, ama khanda im, faramosh karda im. Whatever we've learned, we've forgotten everything. All we learned, we forgot everything. Illa yade dos, ke takrar mi kunem. It's just the remembrance of the beloved. We just keep reminding ourselves about the remembrance of that. See, the Sahaba Ikram say, Ijlis bina sa'atan nujaddid imana. Sit down. Just refresh in the love, the remembrance of the beloved. How to understand this? You say, someone is 60 or 70 years of age and his parents have died. So there's a get together of the siblings. Yeah, our father lost elders. We think of the beloved ones. Don't we think of the beloved ones? Grandfather, father, and them. Ijlis bina sa'atan jaddid imana. We just refresh in our iman. The talk of the beloved is loved also. It just enhances the love. Doesn't it enhance the love? Someone is talking of your late father or your grandfather or someone. Doesn't it enhance love? It's a lovable subject. So you just want that thing to continue. Oh, my grandfather was like this. And my father was like this. He used to do this. Don't you get motivated? Don't you? You have got an affinity. You have got a love. So you like that subject. You like that subject to continue. So So these people had that love with Allah Ta'ala. Anything about Allah Ta'ala, about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we want to hear about more, a little bit more, something more, a little more, just more, a little bit more. You know, like how the person is coming to the masjid, he's having the last pull, you know, real deep pull given. That's the best part of it. He's finding so much of pleasure in that. So he finds the pleasure in the name of Allah Ta'ala. The name of Allah Ta'ala is last one. One more time, just one more time. So that's the second. The understanding of Allah Ta'ala just grows from one level to the other level. It just improves. And the third is this. And his behavior and conduct reminds you of the Akhir. He says, hey, this thing here doesn't appeal to him. I brought my Merc there, he brought his BM there, he brought his plane tickets there. But these things don't appeal to him. It means he's at a different level. Why is it not appealing to him? It appeals to everybody else. That car, that whatever else, everything appealing to every other person. But it's not making an appeal to him. Why is it not making an appeal to him? Because he's at a different plane. He's got a higher objective. Yeah, this guy, he's robbing us. Huh? He's gone at a higher plane and he's left us behind. We are playing around with all plastic scooters, Mercedes and all these things here. And he's at a higher plane. He's hitting the heavens now. See? So then you think, hey, no, this is all scooters, plastic scooters here. Let me just leave these things here. I need to carry on my life now. I can't carry on my life with this, a little bit of entertainment. Just pleasing the eye and just trying to impress upon people with this car here, with this type of holiday, or whatever else. I'm impressing upon them or impressing upon my naive mind. I need to go on to a higher level. So his talk will improve your understanding. And his actions and all will take it to a different level. Hey, this world is nothing. There's something beyond this world here. For this person to behave like this, there's something beyond this world. So this is the hadith that speaks about Allah Wala. How do you recognize, how do you identify? So Allah Pak has planned the world, he's planned the system such. Okay, in this world you can't get to things directly. You have to go via. You want some type of a treatment, don't you go through the doctor? You want education, don't you go through a school or madrasa? So Allah Pak has kept the system. You want some rosy, then don't you go through the shop. Or the rosy comes straight to you. You have to go through the shop. So Allah Pak has kept the system such that you don't go direct. You go through some means you go through. Allah Ta'ala willing, you could have sent down the rosy straight down to you. Allah Pak, I'm hungry, straight down. Say some 3 loaves of bread, 2 liters of milk, your food, everything arranged straight away. That's not the system. The system is you have to go via. Go through this, go through this, go through this, and he sends it down. Doesn't it happen? So the same system applies in looking for an Allah Wala as well. You want that love, you don't get it direct. You need to go through some medium. That's the system of Allah Ta'ala. He's planned it in that way. You want to do hafiz, you have to go to an ustad. You want to do kitabs, you want to go to a teacher, madrasa. You want rosy, you have to open up a shop. Even Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the day he's appointed as a Khalifa, he's got a bundle of cloth and he's going to the bazaar. Why? To generate some income. I need to look after my wife and children. So that's the system of Allah that you have to go via. You could have said, Allah, I am the Siddiq, you know. Just send the rosy direct to me. You could have said that. But he didn't go that way. You know. This is the plan of Allah Ta'ala. He wants us to go through this plan. Let me go through it. But now, like rosy, Allah Pak has kept a plan. Then to look for the one that will lead you to Allah Ta'ala, you need to look for a person. So how do you identify the person? In the hadith I have shown you how you will identify. Now let's come to the Quranic verse. How do you identify the person? So Allah Pak says in Surah Furqan, what he says? Ibadur Rahman. Right. Ibadur Rahman. The slaves of the compassionate. And now look at the choice of the word of Allah Ta'ala. He could have said, the choice of the most powerful, Ibadul Qahhar, Ibadul Aziz. He could have said that. But what he says, Ibadul Rahman, the slaves of the compassionate. So there's going to be two distinct features in them. One, you'll see a slave in him. He's down to earth, simple, simplistic. This whole world doesn't make an appeal to him. He doesn't think anything of himself. Not just the world doesn't make an appeal to him, but he doesn't think anything of himself. That fana'iyat, you see. People talk of wahdatul wujud, etc. They don't know that they say Sufis are making shirk, etc. But what are they talking about? They're talking of a certain kayfiyat that passes your mind, a certain feeling, frame of mind. Now what does this frame of mind, what does it do to you? Ask us what it is before you can label the person as mushrik. I tell you, your iman gets stronger with tasawwuf. Now what is this lesson teaching you? Wahdatul wujud. Mu'arrum rahmatullahi, he's a master of illustrations. He says what's the meaning of this. He says, one person picked up a firefly. Yes, you see firefly, even in the farm you see it. At night you see the thing, color coming up, sparkling and going off, right? So he bonded with that thing, he caught that thing, put it in his topi somewhere. And he's too friendly with that thing. He began to talk with that firefly. Say, I'm so fond of you, I'm such an attachment for you. But you know, you disappoint me. When it comes the day, you just disappear, you're not to be seen anywhere. You know, you're so beautiful, you're so magnificent, and you so show out so beautiful at night. But then you're such a disappointment, come the day and you're totally out of sight. Where are you gone to then? This person is talking to the firefly. So the firefly says, you see, be it the night or be it the day, I'm in the fields, I'm in the open, I'm in the trees, I'm in the grass, I'm there. But what do I do when the splendor of the glorious sun comes out? Then I'm like insignificant, I'm non-existent. Just as the twinkling of the star, right? Or with the rising of the sun, what happens to the star? All gone, finish. But have they gone completely non-existent? No. As though they don't exist in comparison to the glory of the splendid sun. They don't exist. Someone is a multi-billionaire, right? And you got 5 rand in your pocket. So, what you feel, in his comparing yourself to him, how do you feel? I don't have wealth. Do you say I have wealth? But are you truthful in saying that you don't have wealth? You have something, but that wealth that you have, is it anywhere in comparison to the wealth that he has? So this is wahdatul ibad. When you see the magnificence, the majesty, the greatness, the magnitude of Allah Ta'ala, and you look at it comparing yourself, hey, I'm nothing, man. Not even a drop of water in comparison to the ocean, really, literally. Not even a drop of water in comparison to the ocean, you feel like that. Now science is talking about planets and comparing the small planet to the big planet and all that, as though Earth is like non-existent in comparison to all the other big planets, right? Now they talk about it, but Buzrugani, they talk about it long time ago, they spoke about it. Rumi is speaking about it so many thousand years ago. Right? As though you are non-existent. Feel your non-existence in the face of the glory, the greatness, the splendor, the magnanimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you feel like that at any time? What are you? Are you anything? You're nothing, absolutely nothing. Like the drop in comparison of the ocean, you feel you're nothing. So you have to feel like yourself like that. At any given time, that feeling must not just be a feeling. It mustn't be a concept. It must be a behavior. One is just an illusion, an imagination. And one is a behavior. It's two different things, right? One is imaginary, just an imaginary. Imagine you got £1 million. It's imagination. And you got £1 million. Is it the same? You've got £1 million in your pocket, right? And imagine you got £1 million. I ask anybody here, he's got £10 billion in his pocket somewhere, right? Will he be sitting there, he's just calm like this? Or you'll see the anxiety on his face. You'll see the anxiety, hey, anybody watching me, timing me? Look at the right, look at the left. See, everything is right, the coast is clear. See, so that having that is, you're going to show a different behavior. And this imagining to be wealthy is a different thing. This dreaming about it is a different thing. And having it is a different thing. So this is what the Buzrugani is talking about. It's not just an imagining, it's not just talking about it, just imagining. Being like that. The first thing that features in their name, Ibad. Ibadur Rahman. And the second thing that they are displaying is the compassion of the beloved. Compassion of Allah Ta'ala. At any given time, their behavior, their conduct, what is it showing? What is it displaying? It's displaying compassion. It's displaying the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh left the kingdom of Balkh. These people are all very educated people. Don't think they were all backwards. They were very educated. And they had the most educated philosophers in their kingdom. With all that, when he felt, oh, I need to take this path, everything, he threw everything aside. Everything aside, and he's carried on. He was short of anything. He wasn't short of anything. But he felt, hey, this thing is going to be a headache, you know. It's going to be a big headache. As though, I want to go to Johannesburg, right? And when I want to go to Johannesburg, I've got a string with a big coach. I have to pull that string and go. How long is it going to take you? Tons of years, right? So now, hey, let me just move. Let me just take the flight and move. So I'm light, I'll just move in, I'll reach so quickly. So they consider the kingdom and the wealth as a spanner in the work. Not a cog in the work, but a spanner in the work. It's going to delay the whole process. Say, I need to move on. When I need to move on, I need to move this thing out that I can move and I can reach up safely. And to participate in the marathon with 50 kilos, carrying 50 kilos coming out first. Did it ever happen for anybody? You're carrying 50 kilos, you participate in the marathon, come out first. Does it happen? Yeah, we are saying Allah Ta'ala, I got that 100 million, I need to double it up to 1,000 million, and I'll come out first in the race. That's what he's saying Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, it's not going to happen. So no, it's going to happen, Allah Ta'ala, I'll make it happen. It's not going to happen, try it out in the marathon. You see what you're saying is right. Try it out in the marathon, just carry that. 50 kilos, and see you come out first. You can't come out. So this Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah just leaves everything, and he's gone. Now he's dressed simply. People don't know that he was the king of Balkh. See, this Buzurganadi in the past, many times they would deliberately undertake journeys, right? Because when they're undertaking journey, they're learning also, they're teaching themselves discipline and humility. Now you've boarded a bus, for example, right? Someone's going to push you, someone's going to sway you, someone will talk to you in a rough way, someone is smoking a cigarette and is pushing all the smoke towards you. In the meanwhile, you're a big Buzurg now. Everywhere you go, any town you go, they're shaking your hands, they're kissing you, making dumb water, big tahnik and all that. Everywhere they're respecting you. Here you are in a bus, in a crowded bus, they're pushing you from this side, stand up passenger, they sit down there, someone is smoking a cigarette, someone is shouting at you, are, kya kar raha hai? And with all that, are you taking all the tolerating all that? Are you learning what it is to be a servant? So they go out like this for this reason, that they learn and they perfect the lesson of humility. He's going towards the town and someone spots him. So he's asking, this policeman is asking Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh, okay, where is the town? So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh, at that time was in a different frame of mind. Sometimes when you're absorbed in the frame of mind, then you talk and you may behave differently. So he was absorbed in a different thought, totally absorbed. And he pointed towards the Qabristan. Now the police officer saw it, that's the Qabristan, he's pointing towards the Qabristan. So he's making a fun of me. So I gave him 1-2 smacks. Anyway, not long after that, he sees the whole town people coming to meet Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah, kissing his hand, meeting him and making mu'anaka and embracing him. Now he got a shock. He's a big buzruk, so we have to ask him for maaf. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah says, before I could get the second punch, I forgave the first punch. See, at every step, what they are displaying, the compassion of the beloved. At every step is the compassion of the beloved. Before I could receive the second punch, I have forgiven the first one. Where he was, the king, and now he's getting booted and punched. So he knows what he's getting. He knows what he's aiming for. And in reaching wherever he needs to reach, he understands that Bilal also went through difficulty. Hot, scorching sands. Sumayya radiallahu anha also had to give her life, right? They could have made dwalala, this zalim just finished them up, all destroyed. He could have done all these things here. But then the policeman asked, but what was the mystery in this? I asked you about the town, and you pointed towards the Qabristan. What was the mystery behind this? So he says, you see, the town you call Basti, populated. It's a populated, so you call it a Basti. Basti means jahan par log base hue hain. People have lived. It's a residing place. That's Basti, right? It's a residence. It's a place to reside. That's basti. That's a translation. Now, I want to know from you, Ibrahim al-Azam is asking him, is the town the residing place or the qabr the residing place? Because you see that person has resided here for a couple of years and he's moved on. Every person that comes here, he's moved on. So he's not a residence. But the one that goes to the qabr, you don't see him moving on. He's there for good. He's there, and he's there for good. You don't see him moving from there afterwards. So my mind was in a different frame at that time. I was in a total different frame of mind. And I saw the town to be a qabristan, and the qabristan to be a town, because this is where people reside. They reside there permanently. You don't hear, he's going out of the qabr today, he's moving on with his life. You ever hear, went there, and then he's gone. He's going to another level. He's gone there, and he's there forever. So my mind was different at that time. Therefore, I answered you like how I had answered you. But you see, Ar-Rahman, fas'al bi khabira. Now you want to get up to Rahman, this is the way. So this is the first description of the Ahlullah, Ibadur Rahman. See, humility, and at any given moment, and at any given time, they are displaying this aspect of grace, of compassion, Ar-Rahman. Then Allah Pak starts off the entire surah Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran. Perhaps in the Talibi word you can write it there, you know, as a head note. Allah Pak, when He is teaching us, what He said? Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran. He didn't say Al-Qahhar, Al-Jabbar, Allama al-Quran. He said Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran. That means He's telling every teacher, everyone that is teaching, you need to be showing Rahman. You need to be showing the colors of Rahman. For that education of yours to go right direction.